Doom Trooper's Guide, Part 2. Section 2, The New World Order. In this section, you will be introduced to the social, political, and economic structures of the world, as well as some of the important technologies related to them. There are 115 nations represented by 12 government corporations. However, there are innumerable catalog of companies, cartels, alliances, and individuals who are tracked in supplements to this guide. The total population is approximately 17.8 billion people, only about a third of whom are considered full citizens. The remaining 12 billion either have limited citizenship privileges, which are guaranteed by their government corp service contracts, or they have no rights at all and are designated as non-citizens. Part 1, The Extranational Society. The Extranational Society, or XNS, and their technological interventions are responsible for the end of the Second Dark Age. What is not clear is where the XNS, or XNATs, came from. Leading theories on their origins include extraterrestrials or extra-dimensional beings, time travelers, or ADOs. All of these suppositions have been roundly disavowed by the XNATs. The XNS were the first to show a mastery of modern physics, made publicly available knowledge about ADOs, continued to develop essential technologies that stabilized space-time, and built several major infrastructures that remain critical to the survival of the world. Of the many notable things about the XNATs is that their society is primarily space-based, and they are unequivocally the most powerful group in the world. At the height of the collapse, there was virtually no electricity. Few devices larger than a toaster worked, and the natural environment was hostile. Most people were living in small semi-nomadic groups clinging to the bones of cities. Large permanent settlements were too dangerous due to disease and violence, which was caused by psychosis resulting from Swiss cheese. This also became apparent that space-time becomes increasingly unstable in large groups of people. Descending in vertical takeoff and landing planes or appearing from over the horizon on hovercraft, people from the XNS arrived with generators, food, machines, all manner of electronics, and medicine. The machines they had were numbered in the thousands, some large enough to engulf a five-story building. Massive caravans began snaking across the landscape as word spread that hot meals and safe beds were being made available in exchange for labor. Deconstruction caravans devoured virtually everything in their path. People would move ahead of the machines, picking up what valuables they could find and clearing things the machines couldn't handle. Recyclables were tossed into shredders and reconstituted into beds, clothes, and tents or cabins. Metals were melted down and cast into ingots on the spot. Even asphalt was ground into dust for reuse. In the wake of this reclamation, whole towns and cities were reduced to nothing but fields of barren building foundations and dirt. The most critical point of interaction between the XNS and the world at large beyond their infrastructure is the enforcement of the international rules of order, which will be detailed in a later section. These rules are not laws. Their most significant penalty is barring of access to XNS technology and or the destruction of any technology tied to it. These brief but precise mandates are meant to ensure fair and equitable access to the services provided by the XNS. The first and most critical of the IROs is that all persons shall have unfettered access to the services provided by the Extranational Society. Part 2, Extranational Infrastructure. The XNATs built and maintain a series of prolific infrastructures which continue to serve as the foundation for modern society. The International Power Grid. The IPG is made up of a series of power-generating installations of various kinds: geothermal, solar, wind, nuclear, hydro, tidal, fusion, and other means which are less well understood. In addition to power plants, battery stations are also regularly stopped. Any person who cannot readily access power or a battery supply may request one, and it will be delivered to them usually within 48 hours. Spaceports and space platforms. Access to resources collected in space have been vital in the redevelopment of the world. One of the few aspects of modern physics that is well understood is that Earth is the epicenter of broken space and whatever factors are responsible for the ongoing damage. Materials brought in from off-planet are significantly more stable and less susceptible to the effects of broken space. The XNS built 12 space ports, each with an associated space platform or station. These include 4 space elevators, 4 launch and landing sites, and 4 levitation channels. Each of these means of space access is suited for different uses. The space elevator is ideal for moving people on and off planet. Launch and landing sites are primarily used to get heavy equipment or resources into space, and levitation channels are used to bring resources from space to Earth. Internal medical systems. IMS have been a critical technology in allowing people to survive in the modern world. A series of small devices which contain nanites, pharmaceuticals, and microtools are used to repair the physical damage of bad space, along with a variety of other ailments. These devices are self-replicating, self-repairing, and interface with a variety of additional technologies. In addition to their restorative functions, they record biological data, can be used to regulate virtually all bodily functions, and can simulate sensory input with complete fidelity. Stasis systems. Whether due to space sickness, Swiss cheese, or any other malady, people can be placed in stasis for nearly any length of time during which their aging is significantly slowed. Using a combination of chemicals, drugs, temperature control, and IMS regulation, people are stored in individual pods where their condition can be managed. For roughly 10% of the population, it is common to cycle in and out of stasis throughout their lifetime, living their life months or years at a time before going back into their pod. Additionally, there are 2.3 billion people in deep stasis who cannot be revived until a cure for their condition can be found. Digital field grid. This piece of infrastructure has two elements, the digital field, or DiFi, and grid. The digital field serves 4 purposes: shielding from bad space-time, stabilization of space-time, wireless power transmission, and communication. Of all XNS infrastructure, the digital field is perhaps the most visible and ubiquitous. The digital field is emitted by massive towers around and throughout cities. While many are obscured, the taller towers which line borders have lights with unique colors to distinguish cities and regions. Grid is a composite material used throughout areas covered by the digital field, which harness its powers to reinforce structures and ensure digital field signal transmission strength. It is the use of this two-part system which has greatly advanced the development of cities and is the primary defense against bad space for billions of people. The World Economic Band. In response to what they saw as misuse and abuse of the free access they intended for their services, the XNATs implemented a few measures to ensure they could regulate and monitor people and enforce their rules. Exploiting the data coming from the DiFi, which can distinguish every atom within its field, the XNATs began applying algorithms which assess the values for everything. With the correct tuning, subtle but unique differences between elements, compounds, and even organisms can be detected. For instance, in any flock of birds, no two individuals will have the exact same molecular makeup. One bird may be slightly heavier because it has just eaten, or may have fed in an area with more calcium-rich prey, thus its bones are slightly more dense. The DiFi can make this distinction. In addition, in an effort to represent this information in a way that is easy to understand, many iterations are possible, but an official readout using a combination of charts, graphs, was settled upon. This information is represented in real time, compiled from all signal data available to the DiFi. The 12 most powerful companies in the world, referred to as the banded companies, are represented in this official view. While all the data is free to the public for review, it takes special skills and training to mine this data feed. In summary, without the interventions of the Extranational Society, it is likely the Second Dark Age would have led to the end of human civilization altogether. Today, there is no part of the world or solar system that is not marked by XNAP technology, and no life that is not touched by their works. Direct contact with the XNAP citizens is extremely rare, as they choose to communicate primarily through representatives, and most of their work on Earth is carried out by AI-controlled drones. Part 3. Private ownership for public good. As civilization reestablished itself, so did many of the governments that existed before the collapse. However, beyond names and some basic elements of those countries, very little of pre-modern social or political structures remain. It is the express policy of the XNS to support the redevelopment of planetary institutions, and as such, they deal exclusively with nation-states or their representatives. This strategy was meant to encourage the rapid redevelopment of democratic systems. However, during the rebuilding years, warlords restyled themselves as businessmen or representatives of the people. The savvy saw clearly that the XNS technology would be only a foundation, and that the full rebuilding of society would be left to those on the ground. While the XNS was providing free necessities, they did so often with little or no thought as to how those resources were distributed beyond those on the work crews. Shipments of food and medicine were dropped in easily accessible places and left for whoever might find them. The new businessmen quickly amassed power by seizing these resources, initially for trade and later for reselling. Covering themselves in the vestiges of national power only served to legitimize their hold on the burgeoning society. While the most desperate days of the collapse were receding into the past, the precarious nature of the world remained an ever-looming threat. This persistently hazardous situation made people more reliant than ever on anyone who could provide relief or safety. The hybrid corporate governments claimed to operate in good faith of XNS expectations, allowing access to and distributing what goods they gather to people. But these companies quickly became and remain extremely exclusive in their ownership, membership, and ushered in a new class system. Unlike the pre-modern era, where people gained citizenship and protections thereof by right of birth or a naturalization process, membership to a GoCorp is on contract basis, the terms of which vary and can be changed, usually with little or no notice. Membership comes with fees and various requirements, and due to this and their contracts, many people unwittingly relinquish their authority over their own lives to one or multiple GoCorps. Governance corporations have become the source for whole new philosophies and reinterpretations of history, and effectively did away with the notion of inherent human rights. Private ownership for the public good is a moniker of this new style of government. It did not take long for resentment and resistance to mount. These early conflicts were often short-lived and resulted in primarily cosmetic changes in how the companies operated. In some instances, the XNS did intervene and they began to establish and enforce the international rules of order. However, it became clear they did not have a deep interest in interfering with what they called earthbound issues. Part 4. The modern class system. The modern class system, much like the pre-modern, is a pyramid scheme with little or no opportunities for upward mobility. At the top of the pyramid, government corporation owners, with members below them, citizens in the third tier, and non-citizens making up the vast majority of society. Most of the 17.8 billion people in the world are customers of at least one governance corp who is chiefly responsible for making sure they have access to their XNS services. They are also dependent upon these and other companies for all other goods and services, such that the notion of making something or even as simple as a meal is unheard of. Or even simple things like owning socks or underwear are more commonly leased via their GoCorp service contract. Per XNS International Rules of Order, each country must have a constitution with clearly outlined rights for its citizens. These rights are limited, and as stated before, the countries exist primarily to help government corporations amass customers. Life programs. This complex system of algorithms works in conjunction with the internal medical systems, the state's rights, and government corporation member or owner privileges to maximize one's earning ability, or more commonly, their value to the government corp as a commodity. Every moment of life and biological function is scheduled and monetized. Owners and members have a greater freedom to determine how their time is spent, while citizens and non-citizens have virtually no say in their programming. Owners. These are the most elite 0.001% of persons on the planet. Even among their ranks, there are varying levels, but at a base, they have the greatest level of access to wealth, information, and drastically more freedom and power to determine their own fate. Ownership can be heritable, but is not strictly. Ownership can also be lost, and it's highly prized and often wagered in part or whole to advance one's position in a company and society. Owners are the most free and among the only class of people to have any factual understanding of the status of the world today. Even among them, full knowledge of how the world used to be and how it truly is today is rare, as they are often using quote-unquote common understanding as a base for their knowledge. Their wealth and strict personal control over their IMS, they inhabit the safest and most exclusive places in the world, including living on space stations. They buy, sell, and trade people in their millions. They bend space at will, and they are at the forefront of the battle for control of space-time. Members. Only about 15 to 20% of people are in the membership class. It is common for them to have some ownership of personal items, but they have some freedom of movement and time. However, they are usually scheduled by entertainment services, which dictate how they spend their free time. While many of those in the class believe that membership is the path to ownership, it is rare that membership alone leads to upward mobility. For members, life is markedly better than those below. They are usually not subject to the most extreme levels of life programming. However, how free they are is at best questionable. While it is clear they have leisure time and they are given a choice of how they spend their time, it is well understood that GoCorp sell the time of their customers well in advance to entertainment companies or other businesses. Citizens. Roughly 30% of people are citizens only and are customers to GoCorps. Because of their status, they have limited rights and freedoms. While ostensibly these persons are free, their lives are so heavily programmed that they have little or no time and make few real decisions about their own life. Citizens are responsible for the bulk of data processing that is done in many cities. In addition to processor work, they tend to be employed in the service sector. Living conditions for citizens tend to be cramped and only semi-permanent. They enjoy little or no free time, and that which they do have tends to be limited to VR experiences during commutes. Non-citizens. The great majority of the billions of non-citizens are commodities to the GoCorps. While critics have referred to this system as slavery, GoCorps have worked to maintain the perception that these are free persons who choose to be of service to the corporations. These people have no control over their lives and living conditions. They are traded and moved just as any other piece of equipment, and little concern is paid to their well-being. Non-citizens are stored in warehouses or even outdoors where conditions permit. Their diet consists primarily of chemicals, and their lives are exceedingly short. In the worst case and all too common scenario, non-citizens' bodies are sold for parts or heavily augmented, making them better suited for industrial manufacturing. The loss of personal autonomy, especially by those who are not members of Go Corps, has been put forth as the greatest ongoing human rights violation of our time. While ever more sophisticated machines are available to do work, people are often cheaper because they reproduce at no cost, can be programmed as efficiently as any machine, and are available to do many of the same tasks. The trade in human organs is not only legal, but through modern genetics, people may regrow any number of organs to have them harvested repeatedly. This is a common source of income or use for non-citizens. It is commonly understood. Common understanding describes the information made readily available to the general public, but it is little more than incomplete truths and propaganda, at best, and outright lies at worst. Fact-based education is the privilege of the ownership class or those smart enough to find good sources of information. Common understanding has replaced history and social studies, producing a society that has no concept of its past nor a perspective on its present. A complete encyclopedia of common understanding is available to you and should be consulted to provide insight into the challenges the Corps faces when dealing with people who support the Go Corps system. An example of how common understanding differs from known facts is as follows. This excerpt is from the Versal Services History of the World. The great economic collapse of the 1900s led to what is known as the chaotic period, a time when nations and law changed and new freedoms were forged. This era ended more than a century ago thanks to the power of the new computer age. This excerpt describes the collapse and the Second Dark Age from the Versal Services perspective. Part 5, Global Enterprise Projects. Governance corps have built their own major infrastructures which have reshaped the world and are critical to its current structure. These installations represent monumental undertaking for the corporations involved and are the focal point of conflicts and economic warfare. After many years of bloody conflict, which led to a series of open wars, a complex system of shared ownership was established, which has its own rules for how companies may compete for a controlling share. Economic warfare and war zones. Warfare is primarily a matter of business and used to answer questions of supremacy or resolve disputes between businesses. Commercial war zones with special features such as death traps, tilting floors, or bent space are readily available. However, conflicts are not restricted to these areas. War-related entertainment is one of the largest sectors of the economy. Economic warfare commonly spills into cities, and employees are expected to fight on behalf of their corporation. Economic warfare corporations are a specially regulated group of businesses that have the right to engage in armed conflicts on their own behalf or under contract for another. The vast majority of conflicts today are waged by fighting forces that are made up of a combination of machines, both AI and drone piloted, advanced genetically modified organisms, and people. EWFC companies, while often aligned with other corporate interests, do also operate independently, and it is common for warring companies to use the same warfare contractor. Core tectonics. This is a series of technologies and methods usually employed near subduction zones in the ocean or at active volcanoes where magma from below the Earth's crust is tapped and used for new land masses. The total amount of new land produced is difficult to quantify, but it is well into the hundreds of millions of acres. Intercontinental Express. The ICE Multimodal Transit Network is an ever-expanding series of interconnected highways, bridges, tunnels, and railroads that traverse the entire planet. Virtually all other roads in the world link to this system as it serves as the primary logistical network for the globe. Sea Lane Network. Using energetic fields to flatten the water and accelerate currents, the Sea Lanes Network has routes throughout the oceans connecting the world. Additionally, it is connected to canals and locks to speed transit through continents. The Sea Lanes Network is also connected with the ICE through various hubs and intermodal stations. Gate stay barriers. These megalithic structures are used to hold the sea at bay, serving to create calm, navigable waters and or to expand coastlines. The largest gate in operation at this time is the one extending 137 miles from Morocco to Spain, ahead of the Straits of Gibraltar. This gate was used to create the Mediterranean inland islands, effectively joining the European and African continents via an archipelago. A larger gate is currently under construction, which will stretch from the tip of Florida to the Yucatan Peninsula.